Always a thrill to see Dr. Curdle.
They should have done a plot. They probably won't do it now. They should have done a plot where Dr. Curdle was the mayor. That would
Oh, that
have
would be so sweet.
been amazing if he was the mayor.
I would
And
also love if they had done the Josie and the Pussycat spinoff, if he was like the like fanboy that followed them around.
yeah, like he ends up like hanging out at different in different towns.
Yeah, like he just like is a roadie for Josie and the Pussycats because he loves them so much.
Yeah, absolutely no mention of that since that absolutely charming and wonderful episode last year.
Yeah, I would love to see just like a little Josie and the Pussycats picture like in the background, like spicing up his office slash
Totally.
mortuary.
Yeah, or like a Josie and the, yeah, a picture, or like he could have like a record hanging up or something. That'd be
Yeah,
really
or just like
cool.
quietly playing in the background, like.
Hey Siri, half an hour. Hey Siri, 30 minutes. I always do that. It doesn't know what half an hour is. It's very
That's
weird.
dumb. Siri, you got it together.
Hello, pals and gals, and welcome to another episode of XOXO
XOXO
Riverdale.
Riverdale.
I'm Louis Perlman.
I'm Kate Vatter.
And this is your favorite Riverdale fan podcast where you are listening to two older people review episodes of Riverdale. And we are currently focusing on things that go bump in the night. Pretty exciting episode. We'll get to it in a bit. But if you like what you're hearing, you can follow us on social media. You can subscribe to our podcast. That's really the best thing that you can do for us. We're recording this episode a little late because we had some really bad internet issues on my end, so I apologize. So some details may not be as fresh in our minds, but there is a pretty big piece of Riverdale news that did happen this week that we still need to cover. Kate, what's going on?
The show is ending after season 7. We have a final episode set.
So
Thank God.
there is a light at the end of the tunnel for Kate and I. We listen, this is what I want to say. We enjoy doing this podcast. It's fun for us. We like working together. This is not, it's not like, wow, behind the scenes, Kate and Louie hate each other, and they forced themselves to do this Riverdale podcast. That's not why we still do it. But we have had some chats in the last few years about wouldn't it be interesting if Riverdale ended and we were to do something else together?
Yeah. You know what? If there's anything you would love to hear us talk about for way too long, send us a message.
Yeah, you know, blow by blow, Adam Sandler.
I mean, shouldn't be a problem on that one. R.I.P. Ray Liotta,
R.I.P. Ray
co-star.
Liotta. Love him.
Oh, what a loss.
It is a loss. Yeah, seriously.
I gasped when I found out, so.
Yeah, seriously wonderful actor. Maybe a Kids in the Hall recap podcast.
I have friends that do one.
Oh, how dare. That's terrible.
But the new season was great.
The new season was great. Maybe we should ask to be guests on their podcast if you already have friends that do one.
Yeah, I can't remember who hosts it, but I know like at least one of like I know several of the hosts, but I can only think of one.
Maybe a podcast where Kate just talks about baseball and I just go, uh-huh. Because I'm a gay that doesn't know a thing about sports. Anyway, there's a lot of really great options. Really, really, really great options for us. So, you know, get pumped. And in terms of the actual show ending, I guess we should talk about that for a second. You know, all good things must come to an end. And all mediocre things must come to an end as well.
Yeah, all bad things too.
Yeah, I mean
All things.
the show's all things must come to an end. The show has had like consistent tonal problems really since the first season, I would argue. You know, like the first season I feel is good TV, and then after that it sort of is all over the place. And I would argue that like most of the middle seasons are just completely wackadoo, and it's the writers trying their best to figure out what to do and how to do it.
Yeah.
And then I feel like we've been blessed a little bit with the Rivervale season and with this season, which are like much, much, much more coherent, which is hilarious considering how much they've leaned into these completely wackadoo fantastical elements.
It feels like they have like a vision again. It feels like they were like, if we're just going to end this, and if they try to bring us back, we're going to be done.
Yeah,
in, like a season or two. Like they have a point that they're going towards.
Yeah, they're leading towards an apocalypse. Absolutely. And if they were to do something 15 years from now that's some sort of reunion or reboot, I'm sure they could figure out a way to do that, but they're really bringing it to such a definitive end, which is great.
Yeah.
Time for it to, you know, shuffle off this mortal coil, Riverdale.
It's about time.
Yeah, and I'm really excited to see what these actors do, because most of them are pretty wonderful and have done a lot with some very rough scripts. And
I just remembered a good story. Okay, keep going.
Okay, cool. Just my final point is, I do feel like some of the writers untethered from the conceits of Riverdale might end up creating some really interesting work too. So like I'm interested to see what happens with some of these writers as well.
Yeah.
Other shows, etc. Yeah.
Yeah. My cool story was that I found out that someone who used to work in my office was like a part-time model and dating Cole Sprouse. So he like went to work events. So like people I work with have like met him, but they were all like, we were trying too hard to play it cool, so we just like left him alone. So
because they were all so excited that he was
they
there.
Were all like mildly like they're all like kind of around between our ages, so like a little too old for Zach and Cody, but like young enough to still be aware of Zach and Cody. So like just kind of they were mostly just confused why, if she was like a hot enough model to date Cole Sprouse, why she was still working in a law firm. But
and also they were probably like, why is that guy so attractive and beautiful and just smells so strongly of cigarettes all the time?
That's yeah, right?
Probably also what they were thinking and why they needed to leave him alone, because he was probably a cigarette stinky man.
Yeah.
If with the amount that he apparently smokes, according to the articles we read about him.
If they ever got close enough, because they were genuinely like, all of us were terrified to speak to him.
Yeah, so they may not have gotten close enough.
Yeah.
So yeah, enjoy it while it lasts, XOXO pals and gals, because the show is ending at the end of season 7. It's apparently going to be a full season of the show, and I'm guessing it's going to end with that whole apocalypse thing.
Yeah.
So I wonder if the final episode of the show is going to be called Apocalypse Now.
Absolutely.
You think so? Can we call
if
that now?
That, I think that'll be like the very end, and then I was thinking, I know we were like debating on social media what the show was going to be for the last season with one of our followers, and I was saying like, I remember in the first season people thought it was going to follow the course of Afterlife with Archie comics.
Yeah.
And so I feel like the end of this season could be like Afterlife with Archie, and they could go into that
and have zombie versions of the characters.
Yeah. Apocalypse. Well, especially because Jughead's like the first zombie in Afterlife.
Yeah, and Jughead's destined to die in our timeline,
right? Yeah.
The only thing that would be difficult about them doing Afterlife with Archie on Riverdale is that RAS has not written a new Afterlife with Archie comic in like 5 years now, and it's because he just promises comic books and then goes off and makes TV shows instead.
Yeah. But it does mean that he has like some like true right to the creative direction of it.
That
I was
is
thinking
true.
It's going to be tough. They're going to have to explain where Hot Dog's been this whole time, because it does play a vital role in Afterlife.
Yes, because Hot Dog gets hit by a car, and first they bring Hot Dog back, and then right. Hot Dog bites Jughead, and that is what starts the apocalypse.
Yep.
Well, we'll see what happens. Spoilers for like a 7-year-old comic book, so don't feel so bad.
Yeah, and just
it.
The first issue so far.
Yeah, that's true. I don't talk
Not
about
that. I can tell you what happens in the others.
I vaguely remember. I've read them all, but it's been a while.
We'll have to bring Hiram back. I remember that.
Yes, Hiram's in them. Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Anyway. Enjoy this show, everybody, because it's going away. Let's get into things that go bump in the night. Let's get into it.
Yeah.
So, what do you think of Heather? We finally get to have some hang time with her.
I don't know how I feel about Heather. First of all, clearly a wig. And like distractingly so. Not like that might be a wig, but like, okay, did you go to Party City wig?
Did you go to Party City Wig and get a bag that was labeled Sexy Librarian?
Because they do lean way too hard into sexy librarian.
Yes.
And it's like, first of all, like I can go on for days about like how fucking cool librarians are and how they're like the biggest punk rockers like in society.
100% agreed. Yes.
And they instead just like gave her cat eye glasses and like a plaid skirt. And it was like, you could
Yes.
still, she could still be like smart and like, you could still also dress her flat out sexy without it being like sexy librarian.
Absolutely. Or she could have been a little punk or kind of maybe a little like alterna culture, quote unquote.
Yeah, she could have been like, I fought the government for privacy rights, so you're
Totally.
welcome.
Well, we'll see. I feel like that's the sort of issue that Riverdale would be thrilled to deal with in an incredibly poor and fast way as the season goes on with this
Yeah.
character who's a librarian.
They're
So.
not going to talk about how librarians are actually the front line of the opioid crisis, fighting it more than literally anyone, but you know.
Yeah, no, why would they do that? Because they've handled the quote unquote opioid crisis so well in the past. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you know, they're like, we are gonna draw from this.
Yeah. So for someone that's a fucking cool librarian, Cheryl is somehow very patronizing despite loving, like just really like kind of talking down to this woman, like negging her almost.
Yes, this is true. This is true. Well, it's Cheryl sort of written to deliver a lot of exposition, which is not a good place to put the character in, I would argue,
Yeah.
because she is so designed in attitude and in delivery just to be undercutting people that it feels like she's doing it there, although we know that the character is genuinely interested in Heather and likes Heather and wants to
Yeah.
be, you know, clearly has rekindled her crush on Heather. So,
Yeah.
yeah, one more thing about Heather's design just before we move on from like the way she looks. She does strike me as sort of, you know, I have friends that sort of dress in like a really, really fun retro 50s sort of, you know, alternative cultural look that at this point is very, it, you know, actually like sort of associates you with like a very liberal kind of artsy, very smart lifestyle. So I feel like they maybe are kind of going for that. You know what I
I
mean?
think they're going for that, but didn't stick the landing.
Yeah, that it's a little generic. It's a little too generic. She should be a little more sleek looking in terms of her
Yeah.
clothes. Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, totally. So, can we move on to this scene with Betty? Are we
Yeah,
ready?
like how she's actively trying to get her mother arrested.
Well, and also just how Betty, this is just, this keeps happening on this show over and over again, where we have these episodes where Betty's written being like, my mother was actually bad, and I'm surprised that my mother was bad when her mother's just awful all the time.
All
And
the
there's
time.
other episodes where Betty's like, I know my mother is bad. So we just got to write Betty more consistently here. That's my biggest complaint about this.
That's a fair complaint.
Yeah. Like the fact that her mom enabled her, you know, Hal to bury the body and under their floorboards, like this is a shock to her.
Yeah, like I don't necessarily like totally blame Alice in that situation because it's clear that Hal was terrifying, but also like other things shouldn't be a surprise following that.
Yes, agreed. So then we get Betty. We get the. Just a little bit of a surprise to me that Betty is still living with Alice and the twins. And it's just because it's been nebulous, but we've had discussions in the past whether she's living with Archie or not yet. And we figured out together using our absolute greatest powers of deduction that they're not living together. Which took a lot of work for us because it's so weirdly written in the show.
But like also like to introduce, so what we find, like Betty decides to move into Archie and like we see Bingo in this scene. Remember Bingo?
Yes, it made me so happy
I
that
wrote,
Bingo,
wow, Bingo.
yeah, our live tweeter Jenna, you know, who's so awesome, who live tweets the episodes with for us now, wrote, "Bingo lives," which is like, yeah, totally, because it's like, where has he been?
He was Wolverine, like, he went to the vet, but, like, Wolverine healed and has just been, like, fighting crime. He's, like, Scruff McGruff. Like,
yeah,
I don't...
has he been running around having adventures like the littlest hobo? Do you get that reference?
Who knows?
The littlest
vaguely
hobo? Yeah, that's a Canadian show about a dog that goes from town to town and helps people. That's all just to
like
fill
it
everybody
aired
in.
On Cartoon Network at one point for, like, 3 days. Also... Are they turning Hong Kong Phooey into a movie, or did my brain, like...
I do not think they ever turn Hong Kong Phooey into a movie, but...
I think they, like, might be, is the thing. And then last night...
Wow, that feels...
There was a trailer for, like, a karate dog.
Hey, karate dog, great. Hong Kong Phooey, racist. Get it out of here.
Yeah, that's why I was like, yeah.
Yeah.
Why does my brain think this happened?
Oh, our listeners are sticking with us. Thank you so much. But, you know, sometimes it's important to figure out if they're making Hong Kong Phooey into a movie, especially in the wake of the absolute charnel house bedlam that was Chippendale Rescue Rangers.
Okay, so it says that they, in 2009, they were going to make one, and then as of 2022, no one has any idea.
Yeah,
oh, Eddie Murphy was going to be in it?
Oh, my God.
There was test footage?
Get it out of here.
There's test footage in 2021. Oh,
lock it in a vault. Anyway, so Betty is delivering this entire little piece of exposition here, so we get caught up on what Betty's been up to Agent Gillian Drake, who she just wants to be called Drake. And I had to look it up on the Riverdale Wiki because I didn't remember. Drake has been in one other episode. She was in the episode where they were discussing Cheryl's pyrotechnic abilities, and she was helping Betty with that.
Yeah.
But I do feel like this character sort of has come out of nowhere and is just like this character. And I also feel like she has a crush on Betty, and it seems like they're telegraphing that.
I remember her talking about the Cheryl thing, but it does feel like by the end of the scene, it was like, so they kiss now?
Right?
Right?
Yeah, it felt like there was a lot of tension between them as well.
And, like, they don't need this plot. They don't need it.
Yeah, it's... I don't know. It's like they can't not have tension between the two characters, like, because of how attractive they cast Agent Drake. I don't know. Like, there's something off about this, right?
Yeah.
In terms of what they're trying to do with it.
I will say they discuss, like... the trash bag killer a little. So, like, there's part of me that's like, is she involved with that in, like, a nefarious way?
Yeah, maybe.
But
yeah. Yeah, I mean, and I could just be reading into it being more queer than it is. But I also...
It does vibe, yeah.
I feel like there's a vibe there, and I also feel like it might be Lily trying to, like, express, like, sort of trying to put a bit of a... play this character through a lens of, like, her own queerness that she sort of has begun to be more public about. Maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know. Anyway, thought it was worth bringing up.
Yep.
And then... watch out. If you have a talk with your boyfriend about moving in with him, and he says yes that quickly, watch out, because that's crazy.
Right. Well, baby Anthony's involved. I did write baby, and then on another separate line, Anthony.
Wait. We might be talking about two different plot lines.
Oh, because the two things happen. Okay, yeah.
I'm talking about
going.
Basically the scene that happened right after where Betty was like, Archie, I'm really trying to figure myself out. Can I move in with you for a while? And Archie immediately, before anything else, goes, uh-huh, yeah! Like, basically. And it's totally nuts.
Right. Yeah. I was thinking of the scene where, like, Fangs and Tony, that happens immediately next, where they decide to, like, get married.
Yes.
But, like, there's a discussion, and I can't remember who says it, but one of them says, like, maybe they shouldn't stay together because they're a couple of gangbangers. And that is not the word they were looking for.
No. So, I mean, this is the deal, is that term is an old-fashioned term for what they are in the show.
Right.
But it has modern connotations. Yes.
They know what it meant and they still went with it.
Yeah, there were some gang. But I feel like gangbanger is a term that's been used on the show before and they're just like going all in on it.
I mean, good for them, I guess, but also like words change.
Yeah, you know, and they could have just said because we're members of the Serpents. Like we would have known what that meant. You
because
know?
We're gang members.
Because we're gang members, absolutely. Yeah, for sure. And then I find it hard to believe that, you know, Tony's social work degree and her work as a social worker wouldn't have more clout in a family custody battle. And with her being the biological right. mother, like that's, this all seems like it is unsurprisingly Riverdale far-fetched that like, that it would be so difficult for Fangs and Tony to retain the right, you know, the ability to have the child.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Poor baby Anthony. So.
Then one day he won't be a baby anymore.
Then they're going to call him Toddler Anthony and then Child yep. Anthony.
Child Anthony, Kid Anthony, Preteen.
Preteen yep, Anthony.
Teen.
And then they're going to call him...
Teen Anthony.
Then they're going to call him Adult Anthony.
Young Adult Anthony.
Young Adult Anthony, Adult Anthony, Middle-Aged Anthony. Maybe that's going to be the Riverdale spinoff, is it's going to be the life of person Anthony.
Old Man Anthony?
Old Man Anthony. Yeah, he's going to be like Old Man Anthony on the edge of Riverdale shouting at all the kids, waving his cane. Old Man
get
Anthony.
Get off his lawn, yeah.
Yeah, get off my lawn. Maybe that's what they're telegraphing here.
Yeah.
So then we get Tabitha, who wants to put the diner in storage, which, with the absolute cockamamie logic of this whole plot line, is totally smart, actually.
Yeah, no, I'm like, you can move Bill. Like, go for it, you know?
Move the building, absolutely. Relocate it.
Yeah, if you can.
So then, you know, Archie agrees to help, which is great. And then I got really excited because usually when Archie puts together a crew on Riverdale, we get to see all of our favorite cute boys in tank tops.
Yeah, but they're not part of the union.
I know, so it didn't happen union. This time.
We support unions.
I know, it was really disappointing to me.
Also, remember Archie has a construction company?
Well, I mean, they also, like, dealt with that on the show, and it was real dumb, is it was like Archie being like, hey, everybody, Anders Construction is back, woohoo! And it's like, if you can't offer these people consistent work, then it's totally understandable that then what ends up happening later on, which is Percival trying to hire them away, that's unfortunately very understandable, you know, with that line of work.
Not how union jobs work. Like, they don't belong to one construction firm.
Yeah, they don't belong to one construction firm. They belong to the union, and then they get hired. Absolutely. And then also, Archie, that was very odd as well, Archie being like, we have one job that is on the books now that's going to be a great job for everybody. So it's going to come with benefits, PTO, like he's talking about like, you know, the reason why unions are important to have in the country. And like, I do appreciate that information being spoken out loud on Riverdale, because it is definitely Riverdale's attempt to explain the value of unions. Like, so that's okay. Like, that's fine. But it is a little weird. You wouldn't sign up for a union job for like one job. One construction site, and then it's like, well, you don't have like proper PTO now, you know?
Yeah, you would do it for like SAG.
Bless you.
Thank you. You do it for like SAG or something if you're really trying to get in, but like manual labor. There's a ghost in Louis's apartment. manual labor is not that union that you would just like join for a job and like hope for the best.
That's correct. That's not exactly how it works. Yeah, well put. So it's like, it's fine. It's fine. So another thing in this whole plot line that I just want to bring up is, and I guess it made a little more sense once we saw how they were relocating Pops. I thought they were going to take down the entire building and relocate it, and they were really taking down the entire interior and relocating it. Mm-hmm. And whatever happens to the exterior, the diner exterior, you know, just happens with Percival. But no explanation of what's going on with the White Worm.
Yeah, I was thinking about that too. I was like, are they going to like move the building like a mobile home and there's just going to be a hole with a bar in it?
Yeah, or are they going to help the white worm out or what? But it seems like the white worm is just completely unaffected by Percival's plan,
Yeah.
which is just sloppy writing. It doesn't make any sense. If the white worm's in the basement of Pops, then it
It's
would
part of it,
obviously be
yeah.
affected.
Yeah, it would be quite exposed if he didn't know about it, but he does.
Yeah, what if it rains?
Like, tarps are only going to do so much.
Yeah, is Tony going to put up a bunch of tarps? That seems really gauche. All the
Yeah.
serpents drinking there would be like, "Tarps, Tony, what are you doing? We need to be covered properly."
Yeah. So Jughead is going to be a mentalist.
Yes.
He just like agrees to it way too fast. Like, I
Well,
know
there's a
he took
lot
him
of
a little bit
agreeing
of a
way
fight.
too fast to move ahead the plot in this episode.
Like in several instances, but this one is like I'm not surprised Archie like immediately agreed to things, but like Jughead being like, yeah, sure, I'll be a mentalist for you is insane.
It is cuckoo bananas, but something that I do want to give the show credit for is it's a rare combo to see Jughead and Veronica in a plot line together, and I love them together. Like, it's
Yeah.
just refreshing, and it's a really interesting the two energies, the way they play off each other, and I do really like that. And I kind of
Yeah.
feel like this is sort of me fanboying out for a second. But I feel like their personalities, if they were in the show together more, they'd take over Riverdale and like they'd solve all of Riverdale's problems between the two of
Oh
them because
yeah.
they're
Oh
actually
yeah.
very, very complementary. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they're both like fairly smart compared to a lot of people there.
Yes.
I will say I don't remember what exactly happens in the next scene besides what I wrote, which is that they did say Anthony without baby.
They did. I wrote that as well.
And I was like, who?
So it's basically that this was the whole description about it being a union job. That was this scene. And then it was very exciting because it would be a job for Fangs.
Okay.
And Fangs really wanted to, be a good father for, and then he says it again. Then he says, baby
Yeah,
Anthony.
then he does. Yep.
Yeah, just to, I think they're trolling us at this point.
They
Like,
know. They've got
yes,
to know.
they absolutely know.
Yep.
So then, and then we get this right before the commercial break, we get this deal with the twins.
Juniper and Dagwood, of course, that we all remember.
Yes, Juniper and Dagwood, who come in and out of the show as well, and we are reminded that they are evil.
Well, one of them is.
One of them's evil, but the other one seems to just go along with all the evil stuff, so that makes her evil too.
Right, Dagwood had the aura, but like they were both real suspicious around that cat.
They were real suspicious around that cat. Yes, that they're so Betty took the kitty away from them, which is the right thing to do. But do you think we're going to see the kids again, the twins again, for like 7 episodes? Probably not.
Probably not. We might get a mention in the next episode, but they're really going to go away real fast.
Yeah, it was great to see them again. God bless them.
Good for them.
Yeah, good for them. And
Getting their
then,
union job here on screen.
huh?
Getting their
Union
on-screen union
job,
job.
that's right, their on-screen union job, that's right. So then we get them cleaning out Pops, and the gumball machine falls.
In slow motion, so dramatically.
It's very dramatic, and Tony, not Tony, sorry, Tabitha's really upset about it, about the gumball machine. And
Yeah.
yeah, the gumball machine's so nice. And then it falls. And then Betty decides to take the kids with Drake's help to get tested for the serial killer gene.
Right. Well, so Betty says to Drake, she's like, I see these auras. And Drake's just like, yep, got it. Next.
Yeah,
Like,
totally.
no questions from
Yeah,
Drake.
Drake's very yes and. Very,
Yeah.
very, very yes and. Absolutely. So she takes him to the star of this show. The most important character, the greatest man to ever walk the Riverdale stage,
Phlebotomist, Dr. Colonel
lobotomist,
Jr.
Dr. Colonel Jr., who just does everything.
There's small town doctors where that kind of is the deal, but like Riverdale's like close enough to a city where this should not be what's going on here.
Absolutely, but I mean, so great to see him. The
Always a
people's
thrill.
choice.
Always a thrill to see Dr. Curdle.
They should have done a plot. They probably won't do it now. They should have done a plot where Dr. Curdle was the mayor. That would
Oh, that
have
would be so sweet.
been amazing if he was the mayor.
I would
And
also love if they had done the Josie and the Pussycat spinoff if he was like the like fanboy that followed them around.
yeah, like he ends up like hanging out at different in different towns.
Yeah, like he just like is a roadie for Josie and the Pussycats because he loves them so much.
Yeah, absolutely no mention of that since that absolutely charming and wonderful episode last year.
Yeah, I would love to see just like a little Josie and the Pussycats picture like in the background, like spicing up his office slash
Totally.
mortuary.
Yeah, or like a Josie and the, yeah, picture, or like he could have like a record hanging up or something. That'd be
Yeah,
really
or just like
cool.
quietly playing in the background,
Yeah, although it would have been,
like waiting room music.
it would be really hard for us to recognize it because on Riverdale, Josie and the Pussycats didn't really have any original
That's
songs.
true.
So, you know. Or he could just be playing pretend to be nice and we could just go with it, you
Yeah,
know?
we'll just, yeah.
It would just be like, yay. Yeah, so then then we get this scene with Heather and Cheryl where Heather is saging Thornhill.
Well, because she's also a witch, it turns out.
I know, which is not a big surprise.
Yeah.
But also, like, it's fine. Saging, it's very basic bitch. And also, it's a little appropriative of indigenous cultures.
Yeah.
I'm just gonna say, like, but it's okay. I'll allow for it. It's, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
It's Riverdale being dumb. Anyway, so then they are both witches, and then we learn that Frank, and this is not a major surprise, is a scab.
Yep.
Yeah, not a
No
shock.
surprise. No surprise.
No, not a shock at all. And then
Veronica's things. Ugh.
Veronica sang like 3 seconds of a song.
I wrote, "Oh no, Veronica's singing," and then like it really did go away pretty fast.
It did, but it also made it seem more cuckoo.
Yeah, it felt like they shot the scene and then were like, "We don't have time," but then they were like, "We made her go through this. We should really like at least show some of
Yeah,
it."
have the end of it. Absolutely. It was no Toxic from last week.
Absolutely
No.
not.
And then we get Jughead's mentalist name, which is the best. It's,
Forsythe the Fantastic.
yeah, which is so fun. And I gotta say, Jughead looking real cute in that tux.
Yeah.
Really
And the
adorable.
audience is into it.
Yeah, because it's fun. I'd be into it. It's cool.
No skeptics in the crowd.
Yeah, absolutely. And then we get back to Pops, where all of the stuff they had removed has been put back. And then Percival comes in. No. Then Archie goes to go confront Percival. Now, big question. Why is this all of a sudden the moment in the history of the show where Archie has some self-restraint and he doesn't beat the shit out of Percival, which we all want to see and actually would be very warranted?
Because it would be warranted. That's why they can't do it. We got
Yeah.
to build the tension.
Yeah, instead of Archie being, you know, totally like rando with when he does this and when he doesn't. Because he's immune to palladium now. So, anyway, so dumb. So then, and then Archie breaks a vase. Who's gonna pay for that?
Who knows?
Veronica? Is he gonna go crawling back to Veronica? Who's gonna pay for that? And then the jukebox shocked someone who was working. So, uh-oh, something is amiss at Pops.
Yep.
At this point, while you were watching it, what did you think it was?
I assumed it was like a nefarious person who was like, let's fuck with the whole thing. But then like the jukebox started playing like right before he unplugged it. And I was like, is this gonna be spooky ghosts?
And guess what?
It was
You were
spooky
right.
ghosts.
It's spooky ghosts. Yeah, they're very scary because their body parts are falling off.
Yes.
Yes. So then we learn that Juniper has the aura,
Juniper does not have the aura. Juniper has the gene.
That's Dagwood right. Sorry. Aura. Juniper has the gene and Dagwood has the aura. That's right. So that isn't really... So we really don't know yet how Betty's powers work, and that's fun. I do like that tension being drawn out. I can't wait to see when Betty has the aha moment where she figures out what's going on with her powers, and it's probably going to help.
Well, you know, it seems like, based on where the episode ends up, is that she's right that she couldn't see the aura on people with the gene, and that she needed to like learn to fight through that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then she does.
Yes, and then she does. Okay, yes, that is probably the deal, yes. Yeah. And then Betty wants to take the twins away from Alice.
Uh-huh.
Which, I don't know. I don't know. I guess it's okay. I mean, if we're going to get a bunch of scenes of Betty trying to raise the evil twins, like, I don't know if that's the direction I want the show to go in, but we'll see how they deal with it.
No, but custody is loose, real loosey-goosey in the town of Riverdale.
That is a really good point, yes. Then, Reggie totally blows in the next scene where he asks for money from Veronica.
But he has such a good, well, Veronica has such a good insult.
Yeah, what does she say again?
You're so unburdened by intelligence or reason.
That's right. Which is sort of maybe a thesis for the entire show.
Yep.
Yes.
Yep.
Riverdale, a show that isn't burdened by intelligence or reason. Now, don't you kind of want Veronica to poison Reggie at this point?
A little, but there's just so much of me that's like, every once in a while, Reggie's such the voice of reason that I'm like, I just want Reggie to be like cured of whatever his issue is right now and like come around.
Yeah, I guess he is being mind controlled by Percival.
He's being mind controlled, and when he isn't being, we've seen the past like a couple episodes before that where like they're trying to paint Reggie as this bad guy and he's like being very reasonable, all things considered.
That's true, absolutely.
Like, he doesn't have the side of the story we have, and with what he is getting, like, he's right.
Yes, you are. That is totally true.
Yeah.
So then Fangs makes a sandwich with too much mayo. I just want to point it out. Yeah, I don't know if you noticed that, but
I didn't. Fangs... I think mayo's good, but I do think mayo's disgusting. So any amount of mayo is too much mayo.
Sure, it was just like a comical amount of mayo on that knife. And then Fangs decides that it's totally okay for him to work for Percival because baby Anthony will be his tether.
Yep.
Which I guess is fine, but we'll see what happens. If he turns evil, I'd be really upset.
And then he immediately buys a car, which is a big purchase for someone trying to have an equal relationship.
That is absolutely true. That is absolutely true. He's really misbehaved. Fangs is all over the place in this episode.
He's been all over the place this whole season. It's been a bummer.
That is true. We love him. And he's been a little much.
Yeah. Much.
And then we get a tarot reading, which ends with war, which we know is what is coming. Mm-hmm. Is war for the soul of Riverdale.
Yep.
And then Veronica, we get... let's go for it.
Say, the next scene, Veronica wants Jughead to erase Reggie's memory of Veronica saying she had Hiram killed. And I guess it's like, first of all, she just like tells Jughead like it's nothing. Like, she's a real problem with Reggie knowing, but she doesn't seem to have a problem with Jughead knowing. And then also she's asking...
That is a really good point. It's pretty... It's pretty vulnerable for her to just do that with Jughead, who they're friendly, but they're not like biffles as much as we want them to be on the show, you know?
She's asking him to like erase Reggie's memory of that, which means like she's unloading something, like she did something really bad and she's saying it to someone who could like hurt her memories, or so she thinks.
That's a really good point. It's really her putting herself out there.
Yeah, she
must be pretty desperate.
Yeah, pretty desperate, or they did not think things through.
Yeah, they just want to move it along, which is okay. Yeah. I commend them for wanting to move it along, because when they don't move it along, we dislike it even more.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Also, I do just want, sort of as a bit of a little bit of a technical thing, here's like Jughead, a scene with him writing, mm-hmm. and he's like meticulously drawing a comic, and it's of course, I like the idea of Jughead becoming a cartoonist, because mm-hmm. that's very fun and geeky and meta. But it seems like it's just like a major leap in visual art skills that he has not had.
Yeah.
And it would have actually been fun if he had just been like, yeah, I'm collaborating with an artist and writing a script for a graphic novel. And that could have been a character on the show.
Yep.
You know, who turns into a cartoonist in the comics that they could have brought back and used in a different way? Chuck Clayton.
Oh, yeah, but he's a bad guy in this show.
Yeah, but like people turn over new leaves on the show, you know? Like he could have come back from jail and been like, hey,
Found
I've
Jesus, yeah.
learned the error of my ways, and like I'm now cartooning and doing graphic novels about my life in jail or whatever. You know
Did
what I
he
mean?
fully go to jail?
No, but we could have
Okay.
had him come back from jail. You know what I mean? Yeah, we haven't seen him since the 7 years later
Right.
jump. So anyway, just I thought that was kind of a surprise, but whatever. And then we learn that Pops is haunted.
Yeah, and we know because it is dark and abandoned, but the coffee's still hot.
But the coffee is still hot. So what do? We get Cheryl and Heather involved. Yes. So, oh my gosh, my notes.
So next we have like
Thank
we
you.
find that the ghosts are rebuilding Pops themselves, which asks a lot of questions of these ghosts. I guess they're not the type that can walk through walls because otherwise I'd have like a whole lot of trouble picking all this stuff up. But also there's like only four of them and they don't look that strong and they're moving all this heavy stuff and they don't have a lot of time to do it. I just have a lot of questions about these ghosts.
Yes. Absolutely. Well, the ghosts aren't fully logical.
Right. And we find that the workers are definitely not doing it because they're switching jobs. And they say because the one guy got shot. Well, they say electrocuted, which would imply death, but he got shocked as far as we know. Or maybe he is dead.
I don't think he's dead. I think he just got shocked.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think they just don't know the meaning of electrocution.
No. And then we have that lovely scene with Archie and Frank.
Right, where Archie pays with his chime card.
That is the main reason I want to bring it up, because Archie does a very good job holding up his chime card, and for
Yeah.
the entire pace of the episode to stop for about 4 seconds so we can look at the chime card, it was wild.
Yep.
Anyway, then Archie gives Frank a picture of him and Fred when they were boys, which is very cute
Yeah.
and feels nostalgic and nice. And then we get this scene with Drake and Betty, where
Yeah.
Drake is just like a full-out aura expert, which is like, oh, okay, like you're a catch-all secret agent. And then the end of that scene, it ends with Drake like switching tones and being like, and how's it living with your boyfriend? And it's sort
Yeah.
of crazy. Then we get the Cheryl Heather Ghostbusters stuff.
Yeah. Well, and I gotta say, so like Heather gives this whole like incantation to get the ghosts to talk, and I thought it was really convenient that all the ghosts' names rhymed.
I agree. It was wonderful. And I'm sure it was really helpful for Heather.
Yeah.
And then the sound effects while the ghosts were manifesting were like they took them from a haunted house CD.
Yeah.
Like a sounds of the haunted house, like that you play during Halloween. And I kind of thought that was really charming and fun. I liked it. I'm not going to complain.
Yeah. And the ghosts reveal that Pops is the final battleground, and the ghosts won't move, and they're very vague.
Yes, they're very vague about it because that's going to be what gets pieced together, I'm sure, until the series finale now of the
Yeah.
show. So this is, you know, we are getting a lot of telegraphing that it's going to be a battle between good and evil, which I'm totally looking forward to.
Yeah.
I hope they bring back Hiram and he's on the evil side for the end of the show. We'll see what
Yeah.
happens. So, then, you know, there's this whole like plot point about like who has space that they own where we could set up the diner? This is sort of what I want to talk about next. Where do you think, in the context of the world of the show, where do you think the smartest place to set Pops up would be?
I think it would make sense to move it like near a Sweetwater River, or now that I'm thinking about it, the old drive-in.
That's interesting. That is really smart. I didn't think about the old drive-in.
I thought about it right now.
Yeah. But that's totally interesting. I thought, because they're involved, I thought they were going to move the diner to Thornhill, which would have been really interesting. Because they have so much space in Thornhill, and they're making that library in Thornhill as well. Mm-hmm. And for Thornhill to be the base for, like, the good guys is an interesting statement, actually, on, like, alternative religions and alternative ways of being good. Like, it's not because they're all, like, weirdo witches, but they're definitely on the side of the angels, all of them, you know?
Yeah.
But instead they move it to the El Royale, which I think makes way less sense.
It makes no sense, but whatever. Because they got to get it moved because Percival's building a ghost train.
That's right. He's building the ghost train.
And there's something with Eldritch evil. I don't remember why I wrote that, but I was like, I feel like in the moment I wrote it because I was like, I don't know what the fuck they're talking about.
Yeah, the Eldritch horror. Yes, I wrote that down as well.
Great.
Very, very, very important. And then just want to point out, we have this scene with Archie and Betty in bed talking about everything. Mm-hmm. And I still don't feel that their chemistry works entirely well for me in terms of being, you know, people who are in love with each other.
Yeah.
But I did think in that scene they both had really cute pajamas.
Yeah.
So just wanted to bring it up.
So the next scene is like a roller coaster with Alice in my mind.
Yes.
Because it starts with like she's mad at Betty for like having her grandchildren's blood tested without her consent. And I'm like, yeah, that's fair to be like kind of mad about. Like,
yep.
You're their guardian and someone's just testing their blood. But then like she gets some aura and I'm like, I feel like Betty's still being kind of mean. And then I don't remember what Alice said, but I was like, oh no, Alice is being way too mean now. Like it really swung from like reasonable to real bad.
Wow, there's a big surprise for Alice.
Yeah, all over the place. Wild. We never see that with her.
Yeah, major, major surprise. And then we get the telepathic erasure scene where Juggy is flipping through Reggie comics.
Well, right before that is when they decide to move the diner to the El Royale.
Yes.
And Frank is like immediately in on it. He's just like, yeah, this is like a great idea. And in my head, I was like, this is not going to be a great idea.
Yeah, Frank with Frank involved?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. We know that something bad's going to happen here.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, so Jughead's flipping through the Reggie comics.
Mm-hmm.
Once again, minor complaint. Draw the scenes from the show in the Archie style, because that is actually creepier and stranger and more interesting.
Yeah.
Instead of just like these weird screen grabs. Hire Dan Parent just to do it. Like,
yeah.
Like hire one of their artists. I don't get it, but whatever. Then the ghosts ended up helping with the whole Pops issue.
Mm-hmm.
And then we learn that Heather is sort of a darker witch, and mm-hmm. she uses death magic.
Yes, she was raised by a coven when her mother died.
I think she was raised by Sabrina's coven.
That's, oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's
yeah. So yeah. We may see some of those other characters come back to help.
Right.
It wouldn't surprise me.
Mm-hmm.
And Cheryl's like, yeah, I'm totally a witch too. I wasn't raised by a coven, but I'm a witch too.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, yeah, Cheryl's totally a witch because she's pyrokinetic. So we're going to have two witches in love who are going to fight on the side of good, and that's going to be really fun.
Mm-hmm.
Then Frank is about to take all the shit away from Pops. And luckily, Betty's on the scene, just hanging out, seeing what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And she sees Frank's aura, and then they know, hey, don't do this.
Yeah, and then he tries to fight Archie. And he's like, clearly working with Percival, because he has the palladium. And he's like, I'm going to beat you up. And Archie's like, I'd love to see you try, motherfucker. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't work, because Archie's had palladium soup.
Yeah, and Frank gets it. Frank gets his hand smashed, and he deserves it.
Yep.
Although, I do want to see some plot line where it's just Frank and Alice in love, and it's just nice.
Yeah.
Just going to say, yeah.
A lot of people in the show could use a just, like, nice day.
I mean, it would be really nice to like have an episode of the show that's called like, One Fine Day or something like that, and then it's just like all of them hanging out and having a nice
Yeah, and
time.
like, but like, none of it turns bad. Like,
Yeah,
it's just like a nice
exactly.
episode.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we've been asking for that for the whole time. That is sort of a theme of our podcast, is like how we like these characters, and sometimes you could just see them going through their day to day, and it would be a really refreshing for the show. Anyway, then we actually see the diner in the El Royale, and it is indeed very odd and weird set dressing on the part of the show, but I'll go with it. I guess that's fine.
Well, they need to touch up the paint with Benjamin Moore.
Oh, I didn't notice that.
Oh yeah, they name dropped real hard on Benjamin Moore. And I think it's
Benjamin
not the
Moore.
first time.
And then Tabitha can see the ghosts now. So that's kind of an interesting little plot point. So we'll see how that works out, but like the ghosts are clearly going to be Tabitha's allies as this continues
Yeah, and they're
forward.
also like put back together, the
Yes,
ghosts.
things are a little better for them. They're visually looking like they're in good shape. So then Tony and Fangs are going to get married, and that's really nice. But is Tony doing it for the right reasons? Yeah, I know. Oh my God. Because don't be mean to Fangs. Fangs is messed up enough as it is right now. Don't be playing Fangs. Don't be playing my Fangs. And then we learn that Betty is waking it through this whole serial killer gene blockage thing by seeing herself in the mirror, and she has an aura, and then Betty is wondering if she's a threat to herself or someone else. Who do you think Betty's a threat to?
I think no one, and that'll be a plot point.
That she'll like get over it, and she'll be like, I thought I was a threat, but I'm not a threat.
Yeah, she'll like use it for good somehow.
Yeah, she'll use her pink aura powers for good. And that's the episode. Who was on your power list, Kate?
I felt like it was kind of hard this episode. I did put Archie and Percival and then like Veronica Jughead as a team
Sure.
because why not?
We have a similar list. My power list is Percival, the ghosts, and Jughead. Yeah. Who's on your crush list?
Again, didn't know what to do. I put Reggie. He was bad in this episode, but I still feel like Reggie's like being very reasonable
And attractive.
and attractive.
Yes.
And they put Betty. Her hair looks really cute at this length. And then I put Archie.
Sure. My crush list is Jughead in his little
Great.
tuxedo. Heather! Woo! Nice
You love
costume,
bad
Heather.
wigs.
I love that wig and fangs.
Great.
Yes. So next week, what do we have to look forward to?
Chapter 111, Blue Collar.
Awesome. Chapter 111, Blue Collar. It'll be all about work. Meh, 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 meh. That is awesome. Well, another fantastic episode of the show. Sorry it's a little delayed this week, my friends. If you like what you're hearing, you can follow us on social media. Please reach out to us if you have any thoughts of your own about this episode. We would love that. We're on Twitter, we're on Facebook, and we're on Instagram. Also, thank you to our editor, Anjali Mercado.
And our theme songwriter, Louis Aronowitz.
I'm Louis Perlman.
I'm Kate Batter.
Bye!
Bye!